Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, there's so much crap to talk about. Another Friday night in the Big Bad City. I am Randy Zay, along with the angry one himself, Jose Padilla. Jose, good evening, my friend.
What up, bro? What's going on?
Bro?
Bro.
Bro. Okay. Bro. Okay, apparently I'm a bro. 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. For 90 minutes of interesting sports talk radio. I guess that's the best way of saying it. Interesting sports talk radio. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realsportstalkradio. And you can find us on Twitter. I am Randy BSC. He is AngryJose15. And I'm doing the point like you all can see me, which is sort of funny. But that's okay. So, with all that being said, good evening, Jose.
Good evening to you too, sir. How's everything?
Well, for those keeping score at home, that would be the first and last time tonight he calls me sir. We're moving forward here. There's so much to go with, so much to talk about, but I just want to give everybody, we had a little production meeting before we went on the air today, and I'm frantically trying to get everything up on Facebook so people can know that we're on tonight and this and that, and I listen to Jose, I'm like, Jose, did you post it on our Facebook page? No, I'm posting on my shower basket. I'm so glad to see Jose pulling his weight and has his priorities in order, because at this point, what would we do without him? What would we do without Jose?
I will say that the only reason why this show's still on is because Jose's on the air.
That's right, my friend. You equal ratings. You equal ratings. And if you folks would like to log on to our Facebook page right in about 5 minutes, I want to take a picture right now of Jose holding up his Sour Patch Kids. And we will
put that on our Facebook page so everyone can see it.
Jose in mid-radio form with his Sour Patch Kids.
You know it.
It's a must-see. Speaking of pictures on our Facebook page, and that picture will be up by the end of the show, or maybe by tomorrow. I'll try and get to it tonight. We're still waiting a certain picture on our Facebook page that has not appeared.
I'm actually still working on it. The issue is, unfortunately, I never actually took any pictures on my phone. So the issue now is copying and pasting pictures from one person's Facebook page to another. But we will work on that. I'm also going to actually try to work on getting the video of me running the bases in my all my splendor, I guess we could say, from last Wednesday. But, We're doing our best, It's I'm a busy guy. I got too many things to do right now.
Oh yeah, you're just the usual saint. We have to make appointments for you. It's like, oh, Jose Vidier. Let's have Randy drop everything. You got 40 million things on my plate. But let's just make sure Mr. Padilla is ready. Okay, Mr. Padilla, your show is ready. You're seated at that perfect temperature. Your soda and your Sour Patch Kids are ready to go. Let's talk sports.
All right, let's talk sports indeed. Well, listen, because it is NBA final science. This is Randy's.
This is my Hanukkah, because it's not one day. It's
although speaking of our ratings, by the way, I hate to rain on your parade. Did you realize though the NHL Game 1 Stanley Cup final outdrew it?
I saw that today. I was able to take a look at the ratings, and I'm not going to lie to you. It seems like when there's another team besides the Spurs in the finals, it becomes very intriguing. Last year's NBA finals was the highest rated finals since they moved to ABC. The last numbers that met this NBA finals they have right now was Michael Jordan's last one with Utah, against Utah. So Jordan didn't play at Utah. You know what I'm saying. So with that being said,
but still, I mean, that's shocking. Because honestly, you would not think that the NHL without Jordan in any capacity. And you can't even use the excuse of this is game six or game seven, it was an important game. No, it was game one. And it's still outdrew it. And, to me, that tells me that maybe the NBA is not as big a deal as everyone makes it out to be. I'm not saying that it's not an important thing going on in sports right now. But what I am saying, though, is that when there is options, people still are going to go out to those options. Because I'm telling you, if LeBron James being in the final doesn't draw well, I mean, what's going to draw well then?
I think right now, with the NBA finals, right? I think it's because the NBA is so diluted right now because the Miami Heat and everybody else. I think people feel that it's going to be, you know, it's that team and that's it.
But this, we're going into game five now. And I don't want to just talk about ratings right now. We'll waste too much time. But it's game five. We're going into game five. It's not like we're going into game two and it got outdrawn. This was deep into the series. I mean, it was game three or game four. I mean, so there is something to be said there. I'm so worried. And I'm wondering, and I say this half jokingly, I'm wondering if David Stern is retiring because he thinks the NBA is in good hands, or he's leaving because he thinks he's in a sinking ship.
I don't know. That's just you hitting.
But I still think it's just best watching. We should see how the ratings go on, you know, during the series when both games are on, and, you know, after the fact, because the NBA Finals will be done before the NHL Finals. But since it is the NBA Finals we're talking about first, I know you saw the game. You saw most of the game.
I'm going to go back to the timeline from when we were on the air last, which was last Friday, where I believe game two was on Sunday. We had just got through game one, where the Spurs won, and then let's pick up from game two. Miami blew them out, and I called you after that game, after game two, and I said, there's no way the Miami Heat could put a run that impressive on the road. And they blew out the Spurs. And the Spurs, just like, you know, they're saying the Heat looked very disinterested in game three, I thought the Spurs had that similar feeling in game four.
What I'm most surprised about with this series, with the exception of game one, is how every game has been a blowout. That seems to me to be the real big issue here. And I'm starting to wonder if it basically is one of those things where each team is putting out their best effort the next game, and then they put out so much of an effort that they're not into it for the next game. Because other than that first game, every game has been a double-digit, you know, slop fest here. You know, we got 2-2 right now going to game five. I had a interesting stat for you. I don't like talking about stats necessarily.
You're allergic to stats.
But this one, this is more like an intriguing one. Do you know that Tim Duncan has never trailed in an NBA Finals series?
Yes. That was...
And to me, that's telling. And that's going to be a big telling... You know, I believe in things like that. You know, as you know, I mean, I'm not necessarily a stat, but I am a person of karma.
For those who don't know Jose is one of the most superstitious sports fans I know, and he, like, and I'm not saying this, and I'm only saying this because you're my friend and, you know, and co-host, and, you know, I sort of like you, sort of. And I'm saying this in a nice way, but Jose is one of the most superstitious people I've ever met when it came to sports. He's the type of person where if, like, the Giants are on a run for the Super Bowl, he'll sit in the same seat in the same place until it stops working.
It's true.
If the Giants would have lost that second Super Bowl, he would have killed me, because I did the same thing. I sat in the same spot for the same thing, you know, for the same games, the same spot until the Super Bowl, and then I changed it up. Because I felt at that point it was okay. You know, I felt like it was no longer in my hands. But with all that being said, you know, I do think some of those numbers are viable. Again, going back to game two, and going to game three, first of all, there's no way in game four, Gary Neal, Danny Green, and that, you know, you were going to have 16 three-pointers again. That wasn't going to happen in game four. We had to be realistic. And
but
you
Danny
just,
Green's shooting has been realistic.
And Gary Neal shot well also last night. He just didn't take as many shots. But here's the problem. Here's where it comes down to, you know, the big threes on both teams. I told you, I think I told you privately, and I think I also said it to you on the air, I felt this was one of those series where Miami's big three can play well and still lose. I honestly felt it was like the role reversal from game three, where Miami sort of just looked very disoriented. And don't get me wrong, up until about the 9:50 mark last night when BL missed that tip-in, it was still a three-point game. And all three of those guys were playing well. I will tell you what I had a problem with last night, Redfall. That is the fact that the Spurs lost, and it was pretty close up until that point where Wade went on a little run towards the end by himself. What I did have a problem with is when Popovich threw in the towel towards the end of the game.
I think this is what both teams are doing. I think both teams are throwing in the towels relatively early in these games.
I don't even have an issue with him throwing in the towel. My issue is with the Heat. My question to you is, when the opposing team throws in the towel with about, 6 minutes left? We say about five minutes. Why is LeBron James still on the floor? Why is he shooting jump shots with 20 seconds to go? Let the shot clock run down. This is what I'm saying. This is the MVP. This was talked about on another show this morning, and I watched the replay of the game this morning before I went into my office, and I watched it, and I really thought about it, and I had to get your opinion on this. Because I think they're 100% right. There was two people who talked about this. I know whose side you're going to take on this. I'm actually taking Skip Bayless' side on this whole entire thing. I don't know if you agree with Stephen A. Smith, where Stephen A. Smith says...
I haven't heard it.
Okay, the argument is this. LeBron James was on the court, and scored 9 of his 33 points in the last 3 minutes after the towel was pretty much thrown in and you had reserves in the game. And Stephen A.'s argument was, well, the Spurs didn't stop shooting three-pointers, but the difference was it was their bench guys. It was the guys at the end of the bench. That situation, the league MVP is in there with under 3 minutes to go shooting the ball to pad his stats.
Well,
it was Dwayne Wade's game last night. I'm not denying that. If Wade and LeBron play together like that, like they did against the Celtics last year and the Pacers last year, if the two of them go off like that, the Spurs are not going to be able to win. And Box plays the way he played. But here's the thing is, though, that was a little ridiculous.
I'll say this. If he's just taking jump shots, I'm okay with that. If he's driving the lane every time and he's trying to dunk on everyone at that point, then, yeah, there's a little bit of an issue. But I put him on Spolster because he has him out there. But if he's just taking 15-foot jump shots or 20-foot jump shots, I don't have that big of an issue with it because, yeah, the Spurs are taking 3-point shots. I know it's their reserves, and you're right. I don't know why he's out there to begin with. But if it's jump shots, I'm not so, up in arms about that.
If it's okay with you, it's going to take me a minute to pull it up. I'm going to get the game log from last night, and I want to see that. I do think it's important. Okay.
I don't think it's that important, but, again, as far as sportsmanship goes, if it's an issue where he's driving the whole time, that's what I would take on with it. But
okay,
if he's just taking jump shots, I'm not going to care.
Here it is. And you tell me if I'm going crazy here. With about 4 minutes to go in the game, with a minute 26 in the game, LeBron, jump shot made for 28 points. Jump shot made with 58 seconds left. And with 22.9 seconds left, he shoots a three.
But they're jump shots, right? Is he driving the lane?
James jump shot also at the fourth. At this point in the game, Wade made a point. I believe it was at 15 at 5.17. 5 minutes, 17 seconds left. And the bench is cleared at around the 4 minute mark. So Cal was thrown in at that point. At that point, LeBron James got about 7 of his 33 points. At that point, that game should have been over. He should have been out of the game.
But that's not on him. That's on Spolster.
760-283-0846 to join in this conversation. 760-283-0846. We're going to talk Tebow. We're going to transition. We're going to come back to the NBA. We have a lot of offseason news. Oh, my God. My God. You told me about the Broussard report, and then I, jumped on it afterwards. Wow,
indeed. By the way, though, I'm curious. Do we have our special guest call?
He's not in yet.
All right. Well, we'll start talking about this. Hopefully he'll get on.
Let's start transitioning now. We're going to come back to the Heat and Spurs. Again, hopefully 760-283-0846. You can call in, join in with us. Talk, we've talked finals, talk NBA. Just to tease a little bit what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Jason Kidd becoming the new head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, on how I hate the move.
What a shock that is.
We're going to talk about the reports that ESPN broke earlier today that Chris Paul and Dwight Howard are looking for a new team together. Is that true, or is that just...
Is it more ESPN propaganda?
Propaganda, I think it is. And we'll also take a look at the Celtics situation as well as the coaching carousel in the NBA. Also, we have some stories that you might have missed this week. So stay tuned for that. But now let's transition over to the NFL. One quick New York Giants note. Victor Cruz, back at camp today, signed his tender for $2.6 million, and now you're going to try and negotiate a new deal while he's on the field practicing. I think that's a class move by Cruz. He could have pretty much sat out until he got what he wanted, but I'm glad to see that he got this stuff taken care of and he's in.
He's not a dumb guy, and he knows that the only way for him to really make money is to play in New York. Again, I like Cruz, but in the NFL, it's all about the system, and he's found the perfect system for him. And I think
is
if he was
the perfect system for him, though?
I think it is, because I think if he would have went anywhere else, you know, try to test the market, he may not be as good. And let's remember, too, people had a chance to sign him, and he's supposed to be this good. You know, it would only cost you a first-round pick. There were teams that had multiple first-round picks in this year's draft, and no one touched them. So I think it's a good thing that they're, you know, and I hope they do work it out, but as a Giant fan, I would tell you right now, I still rather take care of Knicks before I take care of Cruz. You've got to get Knicks in the fold before, you know, really. Because if you only get Cruz and you lose Knicks, that's going
to
be a problem.
I'm not going to lie to you. I think at this point, you, with Cruz signing this, I think that takes the pressure off of them of having to go and make that decision in the next 2 weeks. So, and so on and so forth. Agree or disagree on that?
I think it's still a wait and see. I like Cruz. I just like Knicks more. And I Knicks is the kind of guy, you can put him in any system and he will work. I'm not so sure about Cruz, but we know he works in the system, so I want to keep him, but at a reasonable price. But that's what everyone wants to talk about, Andy, because it's God's son's thing. We're talking about God's child.
Really? You're better than that.
Apparently I'm not. So let's talk about Tebow here. Now, Randy, I know we've had all this talk that Tim Tebow was brought in as a favor to Urban Meyer, who used to coach him down in Florida by Bill Belichick, which was quickly squashed. And everyone's still wondering, why? Why does this make sense? Why does it even happen? Mel Hodge must be jumping off the roof at ESPN right now, because he probably thought he wasn't going to have a chance to talk at all this year. And now he's been brought back because at some point he's going to have to talk about the Patriots' third-string quarterback. But at ESPN, you know they can't talk bad about the Patriots, so now you can't talk bad about Tebow.
I'm flattered.
To say the least, Randy is completely flabbergasted, and I can't even get the words out. That's how crazy. So, well, while we have Tebow on, let's talk to the man, the myth, the legend. I call him the cheese, but everyone else knows him as Chris Sloan. Chris, Jose, and Randy on Real Sports Talk Radio. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad. Chris, you're my brother from another mother. I know you're the biggest Patriots fan I know in this area. So I got to ask you, what's going on with Tebow? First of all, what is your opinion on Tebow before he even signed with the Patriots?
Well, first off, I've always liked and respected Tebow. I've always thought he's one of those athletes that kids can look up to and say he's a good guy. Now, granted, you throw the Bible thumping thing out of the picture, because I'm not really cool with that. But if you look at it on a grander scale of things, when Tebow was essentially let go by the Jets, there was only one team in the NFL he was going to wind up with if they chose to take him, and that's the Patriots, because Belichick has coveted him since his days in Florida. And in all honesty, on draft day, when Tebow's draft year came up, which I believe now was 3 years ago, if baby Belichick, also known as Josh McDaniels, did not jump up in front of us to draft him,
baby
Tebow,
Belichick,
I fully believe Belichick was going to draft Tebow.
Mm.
Maybe, that's interesting. Maybe, really? Baby Belichick, really?
Well, that was his nickname when he was assistant coach with the Pats, so.
So you're okay with this move? Like, you don't have any qualms with it?
I have no qualms with it whatsoever. The only part of the move that remotely bothers me is, does this tell you that Belichick has no faith in Ryan Mallett, who I was of the opinion was going to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady? Now, obviously you can't compare Tim Tebow and Ryan Mallett because they're two totally different players. I mean, Tim Tebow was never essentially going to be your prototype NFL quarterback. I think Tebow needs to let go of the fact that, you know, you have to realize you're not going to be a quarterback in this league. You have opportunities in this league, but you're never going to be what would be considered a full-time starting quarterback. And Ryan Mallett has all the potential in the world, and when we got him, especially where we got him, value-wise, I thought that was a great pick. But when the Patriots signed Tebow, which did not surprise me, it just flew up a red flag of, does this mean the Ryan Mallett experiment is also done? Because Tom Brady has never had a backup in his tenure in New England other than Matt Castle, and we all know how that went. And then Matt Castle went to Kansas City, and apparently Kansas City doesn't like him anymore. So my whole thing is, Belichick wants to make Tim Tebow successful in one way or another, and I honestly believe he'll find a way to do it.
This is Real Sports Talk Radio with Randy and Jose. We got Chris Malone here, a good friend of the show. Been trying to get him on the show for a long time, and he graciously agreed to come on with us. So,
hi, Chris. Chris, as a Patriots fan, it's amazing now. I'm wondering who's going to have more cameras and microphones in the locker room. Is it going to be Tom, or is it going to be Tim?
I would say initially it will probably be Tebow. Brady's been the face of the organization, obviously, since he took over after Mo Lewis destroyed Drew Bledsoe. But Brady's also the guy who doesn't like a lot of attention, doesn't cater to it. Tebow, to an extent, does. And I think, you know, once training camp breaks and once preseason football starts, I think Tebow is going to garner a heck of a lot of attention, which is good because Brady doesn't like the attention anyway. But Tebow, again, it's wherever Tebow goes, Tebow's getting the attention for the wrong reason. He's getting the attention not for what he does on the field, it's for what he represents off the field, which is fine because thankfully the Patriots have a pretty tight-run locker room. So if, you know, the press just wants to talk to Tebow about him being Tebow, I mean, I have no problem with that.
So, Chris, let me ask you this now, though. Let's say regular season, because we're sure preseason, he'll probably play a lot more if, you know, probably the bulk of his time during the preseason. But once you get to the regular season, how often do you expect him to play if he plays at all?
I expect Tebow, especially in the beginning of the season, to play quite a bit. I think what Belichick is going to do is, now we all know Tom Brady is not the most mobile quarterback in the world. He makes Bernie Kosar look mobile. So what I think Belichick will do is Belichick will find situations in which to put Tebow in on the field. Now, he can use him as a halfback. He can use him as a fullback. I think Tebow, whether he likes it or not, is going to see a significant time at tight end due to Gronkowski's injury. And I just think, I mean, Belichick has always been known as a defensive genius, but God knows he hasn't put his defense together in over a decade. That's why we haven't won a Super Bowl. That's why we lost to the Giants twice. I think.
No.
I think Belichick. As much as it pains me to say it, I respect the Giants. I have no problem with it. I don't like the fact we lost to them twice, but it is what it is. I think Belichick has become, due to Tom Brady and due to the offensive weapons he's had over the years, has become more of an offensive coach, which has been a detriment to him. But I think when you throw in a guy like Tebow, when you already have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady, Tebow gives you so many options on offense to do totally different things. And I think Belichick will do with Tebow what the Jets could have and should have and didn't do.
Let me ask you this question. When the Jets and Patriots play, I believe in week 3, what's the over-under on how many touchdowns Tebow gets on the Jets?
I'll say this. I think, now, Tebow's a great guy. He's a role model. He's the whole nine yards. But if you were to tell me that he's not going to go into that game with a chip on his shoulder, I'd say you're nuts. I think, and rightfully so, I think Tebow feels he did not get a fair shot with the Jets. And in all honesty, he really didn't. And I think, which is another great thing about a guy like Tebow, who has the work ethic that he has, he will go into that game looking for the ball. Give me the ball. I want to score. I want to let them know they mistreated me. And I would say, because I think the Jets are going to stink this year anyway because they're rebuilding, I would say the over-under on touchdowns for Tebow in that game is 2.
My question is, I don't know if you follow profootballmock.com.
I've been there, but I can't say that I follow it.
Okay. Our good friend Dave Barry, who runs this site, it's a mock site. It's a fun site. It's pretty good. And he just posted an article on June 10th, which was a couple days ago. Tim Tebow embraces pure evil as requirement of Patriots contract. All hail Satan, says newest Pats quarterback, is the headline of this article. Your response to this?
Can you say what he said again? I didn't quite catch it.
Okay, the headline of the article is Tim Tebow embraces pure evil as requirement of Patriots contract.
Oh,
all
okay.
Hail Satan. All hail Satan, says new Pats quarterback.
I'm sure he didn't do that, but like part of being under the Belichick umbrella and being under the Patriots umbrella, as I've gotten from so many people, everybody hates us as it is. And you know what? If he embraced it in good faith and good humor, I mean, that's cool. It shows that, you know, he's able to do things that, you know, people don't expect of him. And, I mean, he's looked at as, you know, the perfect role model and all this other stuff. And If he did do that, then, I mean, I give him credit for it because it's totally against what his image, at least the image that's portrayed of him is. That's fine. I mean, that's cool. I mean, to me, that's funny. I mean, if they made a T-shirt like that and put it on Patriots.com, I'd probably buy it.
Chris, a couple more things before we let you go, and thanks again for coming on with us.
Not a problem.
It's very early, I know, but do you expect the Patriots to run away with this division this year, you know, despite all the Tebow stuff and, you know, the lack of a really top-notch defense for a while? You still don't expect the Patriots to run away with this division, right?
No, I do not. The lack of defense is obviously there. I think the Jets are going to stink. I think Buffalo is going to stink. The team I'm worried about is Miami. And
I agree with that.
You know, I believe in Ryan Tannehill. I like a lot of the moves Miami has done in the you know, postseason, preseason, whatever you want to call it. And I don't think that, I mean, on paper, yeah, sure, the Patriots look like they should run away with the division, but I don't see it. I mean, I have to look at the schedule again to give a definitive opinion, but I would say Pats win the division at 10-6, 11-5 maybe, and I think Miami is the team to worry about.
Wow. So you're not expecting another 13, 14 win season this year, then?
No, absolutely not.
No,
I mean, if they do pull that off, I would say I'm surprised because, again, the defense stinks. We don't have a solid number one running back. And, again, it all falls on Brady. If Brady doesn't put up 45 points, you don't know if the Patriots are winning on a given week. And that's the scary thought of the process.
Did you happen to see Bill Belichick's press conference the other morning about Tebow?
Actually, no, I did not.
Oh, I will tell you, from someone, again, I've been to many press conferences, and I've covered many press conferences. Watching that one was nothing but pure joy to me. And I'm not saying this as, like, a anti-Patriot fan. I don't have ill feelings, and I'm not for the Patriots. I'm not against the Patriots. But I will tell you, watching Belichick handle that press conference was classic. Because you know how media members are. They try and get the information by asking the same question in different ways. And Belichick would just simply fly out and say, I've already answered that question. Did you talk to Urban Meyer? Yeah. What did Urban Meyer say to you? I prefer not to talk about those things with you guys. Why not? I prefer not to talk to you guys about that. It's just, it was, if you can go out and find the video, because you know it's somewhere online. Watch the
right.
Press conference. If you want to laugh your tail off, that's the best thing to watch.
Well,
I will give you an opinion. After we're done with you, Jose and I are going to go a little bit more about Tebow for a few more minutes. But I want to know, as a Patriot fan, and we're having fun with the whole situation right now, Do you think at the end of the day this was done, if this was a football decision, or if this was more made for, let's give the Patriots a little bit more publicity and some more reason to hate them?
I would say it's probably a little bit of both. Belichick does have a legitimate affection for Tebow. He does have the Urban Meyer connection. But at the end of the day, if you were to tell me, you know, is part of this a PR move, would it surprise me? No. I mean, whether you like it or not, you know, whether you're a Patriots fan or not, I mean, if you look at, well, when the Pats had their run, they were the dynasty of this era. Now, granted, the glimmer has fallen off of that quite a bit in recent years, but at the end of the day, the one thing I can say is, because I do follow most of this on an almost regular basis, is Belichick has always coveted Tebow. And when the Jets did what they did with Tebow, I told all my friends, told all my buddies who would listen, the only way Tebow gets a job in the NFL is if Belichick decides to pick him up. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, even the day that it happened, I didn't know it. Somebody came into the store and told me, like, you know Tebow's a Patriot, right? And I was like, he is? And sure enough, he was. Now, did it surprise me? No. And it's just one of those things. Belichick is loyal to the people he trusts. And he's also loyal to his own opinion of what he thinks of other people. I mean, even in this past draft, not to change the subject, but Belichick drafted a guy who's a cornerback out of Rutgers that most people said wouldn't even get drafted. And Belichick took him, I believe it was in the third round. So if Belichick believes in you, bottom line, at the end of the day, he'll bring you in. I mean, that's not to say that at some point, like let's say through the preseason, Ryan Mallett looks like a superstar, and he cuts Tebow. I don't think that'll happen. But, I mean, anything with Belichick, you never know what Belichick's going to do anyway. I mean, Belichick's one of those guys. It's my way or the highway. But I think Belichick, in a certain aspect with this, is I think he felt, I mean, first off, he covets Tebow. He felt he knew Tebow wasn't going to get a job anywhere else, and that's why he brought him in.
Well, Chris, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Can't wait to talk to you again soon, bro. Again, much love and much respect. Thanks for coming on the show with us. Great hearing from you, bro.
Not a problem, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
That was the great Chris Sloan, a.k.a. The Chise, as he likes to be known as. Great dude. Knows the sports. Knows, you know, big Ranger fan, big Pats fan. Interesting stuff there. I was actually surprised that he was into the old people thing.
I will tell you, our good friend of our show, Gary Fetter, he came on a couple times with us right before the season started last season. He's a diehard Jets guy. He's a person I like. I think should call in. I just messaged him. I said, you know, I just said to him on Facebook, I'm like, we're talking to Tebow right now. You know, he's dead to me. But that's great. You know, it's funny. We were discussing, you know, we're discussing Tim Tebow right now, 760-283-0846. When we usually say Tim Tebow, the lines usually end up lighting up. So, but listen, I really felt that the Jets sabotaged his career last season.
I agree. I don't think they did it on purpose. It's just that I don't think Ryan wanted him here, and what he did. And then Tannenbaum took the axe for it. You know, he took the bullet. I mean, and for a while, I thought that maybe it was a crazy mix-up, but I really didn't think that Tannenbaum did take the heat for Johnson, so. I don't know.
Real Sports Talk Radio on with Randy and Jose. Who's this? Real Sports Talk Radio on with Randy and Jose. Who's this? That was some sort of issue here with the phones. That's okay.
It is funny. Every time you talk about Tebow, people do call.
People call up. It's amazing. You know, it doesn't seem to surprise me anymore. It just, I don't know. Try it one more time. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Jose and Randy. Who's this?
Good evening, Ryan Stern here.
Mr. Stern, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. So I'm assuming you want to get your voice on Tebow.
Oh, who doesn't want to talk about the world's most famous third-string quarterback?
Well, Ryan, I will tell you that we do find it interesting that he's a Patriot. I know you would have liked to see him in a Giants blue, but I think that would have been a total disaster if he was in Giants blue, because Tom Coughlin doesn't really like nonsense. So,
but you know what? Neither does Belichick. But I do think that it is a good spot for him. He's not going to have to feel any pressure about playing time. And for all those people who are saying that he's going to run some Wildcat plays, the Patriots will not take Tom Brady off the field for Tim Tebow to get two or three Wildcat plays in a game. It's just not going to happen.
Well, you know, like Christian said, you know, it didn't seem to me like that's what's going to happen at all. It seems, if anything, they're going to use him in the other positions like tight end, fullback. You know, I don't think taking Brady off the field was ever a question. But using him, you know, while they're out there, I think is something that should be, you know, that is going to be discussed and probably will be done.
Right. I mean, his whole stance for the past couple years is that he only wants to play quarterback. I think if you look at the way the contract is set up, where he has no guaranteed money over 2 years, is that in order for him to stay on an NFL team, he's going to have to make changes. And I think they will look at him in an H-back type position, where he can float between a tight end and a running back. Especially when you look at the Patriots, I know Vereen, they have okay running backs, but Tim Tebow is probably, when you look at it, a better running back than either of their two big guys.
Hey, Ron, we're against the clock right now, buddy. So we're going to really quickly plug you for Sunday. Sunday Beyond the Benches with Ryan Stern. Is it 7:30, correct?
Yeah, 7:30 to 8:30.
You listen to the one and only Ryan Stern. He'll be talking football. What else do you have on tap for Sunday?
We'll be breaking down game two of the Stanley Cup Finals, which will be taking place tomorrow night in Chicago after one of the more compelling game ones you've ever seen. And we will also be talking a little NBA Finals. We all know how much I love the NBA, but...
You are the anti-NBA.
But... I tell you what, for someone who isn't the biggest NBA guy, this series has me hooked a little bit, because I it's almost like I want to watch Miami lose.
I think you're part of the general public on that.
Yeah. Well,
Jose just doesn't care. Yeah. So that's what it comes down to. All right, Ryan, we'll talk to you on Sunday, my friend.
Sounds good. Have a good night, guys.
Take care, Ryan. If I can add to that, it is true. I really just don't care.
Well, you've seen everything. There's nothing that surprises me with you.
You know what it is? If my team's out of it, then I just don't care. You know, look, when the Mets are out of it and they're already out of it this year,
I stick with me now. I think it's to the point, because I've worked behind the scenes for so long, I've learned not to care as much about individual teams. Is that bad?
Yeah, that is. That is bad.
Like,
you can be ashamed of yourself.
I think,
listen, you root for your team no matter what.
Well, I'm not saying I don't root for them, but I'm not like seriously, like, I'm like, just because, like, you know, me being a Mets fan, I'm not heartbroken that the Mets are out. Like, I'm not harboring that the Giants didn't. I was pissed that the Giants didn't make the playoffs. But
if you were pissed, you were harboring about it, right? Yeah, I went there. You care? Because I threw a piece of plastic at Randy.
I like how I actually like how he sort of just did the play-by-play with that as well. What a moron. So, with that being said, just stab me with a pen when this is over. Someone call 911 now. No, like, I think now I'm at a point now, like, I care about the Giants. Anyone who knows me knows that when I watch the Giants, I'm very attentive to the game. But I'm not at the point where, like if they lose on Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, I'm emotionally, like, distraught. Those are, like, diehard fans.
It depends what time the game is for me. Like, if the game's at 1 o'clock, if they lose, by the time the next game is over, I'm fine. The 4 o'clock game, that's when you start getting to that time where I can be mad into the next game. How do you know? Because all the crazy games,
the best is the 8 o'clock game.
Oh, my God.
Because he doesn't go to bed. He'll call me. Like, it doesn't happen much with basketball anymore, even though he's a Knicks fan. And I, you know, I think he knows with me because I have a lot of insight around what's going on in the league. I just don't, you know, he and I don't go back and forth too much about basketball anymore. But when it comes to the Giants, it could be like 9:30, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or even midnight, and the Giants just get done playing, and it's a bad game. He will text me or call me during the game and be like, did you see what that play? Like, I've always encouraged Jose to be in contact with me during the week, during big sporting events. And during the NBA playoffs, it was really hard for us because I didn't get to see as many games as I was.
That's because we have lives, people. We're not here to entertain you. We have lives.
And tune in next week for my new co-host. That will be as our ratings just dwindle. 35-40% of our audience just turned off the radio. They're listening to Steve Summers talk like this.
Snoozing.
And doing that.
I'll tell you. Remember that game last year in Philadelphia? I'm still upset that Ramsey's Barney got called for a pass interference. That game could have sent the Giants to the playoffs.
You realize that it's last season and that was like week 3, right?
Yeah, I know. And that's how upset I got. I texted him afterwards.
The Ramsey Barton?
Yeah, the Ramsey Barton. I texted, you know, he'll see that, sure. But I texted Randy right after that. Like, it's like, I was like, did you believe? And I said, do you believe that blank?
Oh, my God.
So now I'm trying to be professional here.
About time.
Damn it.
Do you hear that sound? That's the rundown being ripped off and tossed in the garbage.
Chaos.
I hate you. More than life itself. Anyway, we're just two very positive people on the air right now. Anyway, so we're joking around aside. I want to give you my view on the whole TiVo situation. 760-283-0846. Here's the call number. You can tweet at us. I'm Randy BFC, Angry Jose 15.
Are you allowed to give an opinion on TiVo?
I am allowed to give an opinion on TiVo.
You sure?
Yes. Lord, the Lord wants me to.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. Listen, I think, like I said, the Jets sabotaged his career. I hate it. The Jets sabotaged his career. And I really do feel, at the end of the day, that if he would have went to Jacksonville last season, he would have been the starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Listen, I think at some point last season, he should have been the starting quarterback of the Jets. The way the Jets were built up, after San Antonio Holmes went down, that team was that offensive line. The offensive line wasn't bad for the Jets. That was more of a running offensive line. Tebow could have basically could have played, played his style of offense that worked in Denver with the Jets, but it just didn't work out. Like you said, I think it was one of those things where Woody Johnson said, how about Tim Tebow? And Rex Ryan and Mike Shanahan were like, yeah, that's a great idea. Tim Tebow, yeah. So we have this Mark Sanchez guy who took us to him. Yeah, but think about all the press we can have. Yeah, the Giants won the Super Bowl, and to the Jets' credit, they stole the back page. Giants are holding up the Super Bowl trophy, but then the next couple of days you saw Tim Tebow coming to the Jets. The back page was taken by the Jets, so they accomplished what they wanted in New York, but that didn't equal wins in New York.
See, to me, if you're going to do something like that, at some point you have to play the guy. And if you don't play him, there's no point in having him there. So that was the problem.
And then by that point, when it was time to play the guy, the person who was making that decision was just being spiteful to the owner. And shockingly, the wrong person got fired for those decisions.
And this is what makes me wonder, if he was being spiteful, why does Woody Johnson love him so much? I mean, these things just don't make sense. I get the impression, you know, from ESPN propaganda that Woody Johnson can't get enough of Rex Ryan.
I love it.
But it really doesn't make sense. Why would you fire someone? Why would you have someone take the blame for something that you wanted?
To me, this, to why he And remember, Tebow had the choice. Jacksonville?
No, I think it was St. Louis.
No, it was
Jacksonville.
It was Jacksonville or the Jets. And he chose the Jets. So,
well, yeah, I would have chosen the Jets, too, because Sanchez was on a slippery slope at that point.
If I were him, I would have picked Jacksonville because you would have had the opportunity to play. Maybe not maybe right away.
Well, I mean, I think that's what it was. I think he felt he had a better chance, and he did, because it turned
perfectly. And if you remember, he went to the media, and then he said towards the end, he said, I was promised that I was going to start. And well, the most insulting part was when McElroy ended up getting the start over him.
Man, that was horrible. And to me, that's where I kind of, like, lost respect for all those guys over there at Boston. So.
At the end of the day, I think he's at the right team, and I think he'll sacrifice the quarterback position to play other positions for the right guy. I think Belichick will work with him, and they'll put him in situations where he's going to be successful. I don't have Tebow's numbers in front of me, but anything will beat the atmosphere he was in. I think he's a good football player. I think he's even a better person, and I think he can bring the best out of a group of guys around him. I think what the best thing that can happen to him is if the Patriots end up running some sort of wildcat offense where he does get to play a little bit of quarterback and he does get to play some other positions. It's the only thing that's going to do is to raise his value up and maybe next season get on with a different team who's looking to fill some voids. Let's move back. We're going to transition back over to the NBA real quick just to go over some quick headlines and some things that we missed during the week. On the note of the NBA Finals, Chris Bosh was fined $5,000 for a flop in Game 4. Big deal for nothing? Big deal of nothing? Or is this actually significant?
They called Duncan on a foul for that. Does Duncan's foul get rescinded?
That's a great question.
I mean, it's not even that it matters, but the point is they called a foul, so how's it a flop? If it's a flop, why are you calling a foul?
I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
It's garbage, the whole thing. It's just garbage with that, but let's move on because I can wax poetic on this for like
Before we get into any free agent news, we have to hit the coaching carousel. Real quick, headline: Popovich and Spoelstra both are blasting the NBA coaching culture right now and blaming the teams for, listen, you had, let's count them, the Nets, the Clippers, the Grizzlies. I'm missing a team.
Clippers?
Clippers, Nets, Grizzlies, Hawks. You can count the Bucks because they made the playoffs, but they weren't above 500. Denver. So you have six teams that were above 500 and were in the playoffs going through a coaching change. And might be seven with the Lakers coming up.
It's not going to be the Lakers. Tony's coaching next year.
I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so if you look at the sixth position. The Bucks filled their spot, and they took Larry Drew from the Hawks. The Hawks haven't named a coach yet. Clippers haven't named a coach yet. Grizzlies haven't named a coach yet. Denver hasn't named a coach yet. Nets just named a coach.
And that's an interesting thing.
But my question to you, let's just... Who's taking the Clipper job?
I guess it's going to be Brian Shaw. I can't imagine it being anyone else unless Doc Rivers leaves Boston, which from all things that we hear and read is pretty much just hop, skip, and jump away from actually happening.
The thing is, he wants his guys there. He wants, you know, if he's staying in Boston, he wants Garnett and Pierce.
Well, you know what? I don't know if that's such a good idea because they didn't win with them last year and they're getting old. I don't think the Clippers want to go to being old again. I want to tell you something about the Clippers, and I read this morning, and I found this to be very interesting. I read somewhere if there's a chance that Dwight Howard was to actually join Chris Paul in L.A. with the Clippers, they're basically saying if that actually happened, Blake Griffin is all but going to become a Laker. If you're the Clipper fan base, are you okay with that?
No.
Because I'm not.
No, I'm not okay with that at all. And I'm going to throw something else at you here. Remember, that combination's talked about three different locations. That's talked about in the Clipperland. That's being talked about in Atlanta, which seems like it's a better chance of happening. Actually, four destinations. Houston, I know that's being talked about heavily, but Chris Paul's not going to go there. Because they have Jeremy Lin and they also have this kid Everly, who's really good. It's also being talked about in Dallas. Because Dallas has the cap space, because Dirk Nowitzki is reworking his contract. So if you're able to have Chris Paul, Dwight Howard, Dirk Nowitzki, and then you can fill in the blanks and maybe get O.J. Mayo back on a little bit less of a deal, that's a nice 4 out of 5 starters.
And so no one respects Dwight Howard anymore, so I don't even... See, I think this is really funny. Like, Dwight Howard is kind of leading the charge on all this, and yet he seems to be the least respected person in the NBA right now.
I agree with you on that.
Why do people need to join other people?
LeBron, Wade, and Bosh did, but they have to understand with that
but
so power.
But they only won one title, and they're trying to get their second one.
But I want to say, with that type of power comes both the positive and negative. Now, I guarantee you that if these guys all join forces, let's say they go to Atlanta, Chris Paul, Dwight Howard, and they I don't know, I doubt they're going to keep Josh Smith at that point.
They can't.
So what you're going to end up doing is moving Al Horford back at the 4 spot, which I think is brilliant.
Which is a good idea.
But, so you'll have Horford and Howard and Chris Paul. You have to move Teague.
I think they'd be willing to do that if you're getting Chris Paul.
But then who's your 2 guard?
Listen, just like Miami Dade, you fill the pieces. You find the pieces where they may. You know, you probably Kyle Korver was there last year. Am I correct?
Kyle Korver, yeah, you can put him at the 2, but they started Devin Harris at the 2, which made no sense. But listen, I can picture Harris being a backup point guard there and being fine with that. But, you know,
first you get the draft, you can draft just.
And I also think that Ferry would also come up with a deal to get the Clippers something, because Ferry is not like that as far as a general manager. I could picture Teague ending up in Los Angeles.
Maybe.
And making that work. But there's a whole bunch of different things, movable pieces. Real quick, let's jump on the Jason Kidd story here, because it's more local for us than anything. I hated this move. With all the coaching possibilities out there, you're bringing a guy in who retired 8 days ago. And I think this is a good thing for the back page. I think it's newsworthy that a former player, there's only been 3 players that have retired and gone right to coaching. Paul Silas, there's been one other, I do not have the name.
Mike Dunleavy.
Mike Dunleavy, I'm sorry, thank you for correcting me. Mike Dunleavy, Paul Silas, and now Jason Kidd are the 3 that have gone straight from playing to coaching. They're bringing in Lawrence Frank. There's rumors of Kerry Kittles coming on to the coaching staff. I'm just not a fan of this move. I think there's so many other good coaches out there that can make a difference with this team. Darren Williams is best friends with Jason Kidd. I think that's a conflict. I think there's going to be a lot of problems, and I think the Nets might regress. Not that they were a great team this year. In the watered-down Eastern Conference, they won 49 games and were the 4th seed. There's a lot of teams that are making some nice moves out there that are going to be a lot better.
Hold up.
Oh, here we go.
Watered down. Listen, again, truth is stranger than fiction, apparently.
I'm going to ask you an honest question here. Was the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference under 500, yes or no?
The 8th seed in the Eastern Conference is under 500, but that's okay. The 8th seed in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference would be under 500. You can't say the East was watered down just because the way the season turned out. It wasn't watered down. I think it was actually better than normal when you think about it. The last few years in the East, we had 3 or 4 teams under 500.
Okay, if you look at the league standings, if you look at it at the end of the day.
It's not my fault the Knicks were the second best team in the East.
I'm not saying that.
You're saying that because...
I'm not saying, it just has nothing to do with the Knicks. I'm making a simple point. We're talking East and West. I'm saying if you start matching the top records in the league, how many of the teams in the East are really going to be in the top 8? The
Heat could possibly win the NBA final. The Knicks had a winning record against San Antonio in, you know, I'm bringing the Knicks up because I'm not going to lie to you. I take a little bit of offense to that because it's like a little dick.
You take offense to everything I say.
I think it's a little bit of a dick because your Nets came in 4th place.
This has nothing to do with me taking a shot at him.
I think there's a little bit of a shot there.
Well, you're also not that smart, so I don't take that personally.
That's okay. I'm still smarter than you.
Everyone's smarter than me. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
I think to say the East was watered down, I don't think that's fair to say. That's not a fair statement to say. It wasn't a watered down East this year. In other years, yeah, I would say it was a watered down. Not this year. This year was not watered down.
I'm pulling up the standings right now, and you're making me do this, and I'm sorry that you are. The Heat had 66 wins, 66-16. The Oklahoma City Thunder were number two with 60-22.
I thought we're not supposed to be bringing up statistics here, by the way.
Well, you forced my hand.
Yeah, no force of hand.
Okay. Then you had the San Antonio Spurs, 58-24. So they're number, so technically they're number three in the league. The Denver Nuggets are four at 57-25. The Clippers are number five at 56-26. And Memphis is tied with them, so it's a tie for fifth. Then is the Knicks. So the top eight teams in the league, the number two team in the East is the seventh best team in the league.
Okay, but let me just point this out to you, though. Okay. Just to bring it out in all fairness, Knicks against Oklahoma, 1-1. Against San Antonio, 2-0. Against Denver, 1-1. 0-2 against the Clippers, 1-1 against Memphis, 1-1 against Golden State, 1-1 against Los Angeles, 0-2 against Houston. My point is, there are teams in the West that would have had been higher. But again, you can't control where you play. And obviously, there are teams that get beat down in the West a lot more than are in the East.
This is not my point. My point is this. I'm saying...
But it wasn't a watered-down East, though, is what I'm saying.
Okay, maybe not. Listen, the Celtics only played...
You're using the wrong choice of words.
I'm saying that if you take a look at the... Maybe the East is more better balanced because look at the records in the...
I think that's what it is that the East is just more balanced.
But I'm saying, okay, if you had to match them up, seed for seed, 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, obviously, Houston, I think Houston would sweep Milwaukee in a seven-game series. With the way their seasons were this year, both the Lakers and the Celtics would be facing in round one of that.
See, but here's the thing, though. We have actual matchups. And the Knicks did well in these matchups. So if you took the Knicks, you can say the Knicks should lose to San Antonio and swept them this year.
I think I have a way to fix the whole NBA.
It's not going to be good.
You should be scared. I think they should do this, have the top eight teams in each conference, and then reseed through the whole NBA.
They'll never do it. They haven't done it now. Why are they going to do it? You know, haven't done it, so they're not going to do
it. Are you against that idea?
Yeah, I am. This is the way it should be. It should be done the same way it's done in football, same way it's done in hockey. And it is kind of the same way that you're trying to explain, but it should be reseeded. It should be. Like, after each round. So
I'm not even talking about that.
That's the way it should be done, though. So the highest remaining seed in each round should play the lowest remaining seed in each round. And that's how it should work. Like, it doesn't ever get a sport. In basketball, for some reason, it's already, you know who you're going to play in the next round if you win.
What I'm saying is, if you're going to make this a real playoffs, take the eight teams from the East, take the eight teams from the West, put them all together, and then do a real playoff.
That takes too long.
For example... If Milwaukee would play, Miami in round one, but then San Antonio would be playing who had the Houston Rockets.
I don't like that. That takes away. No, I don't like that. That's.
You know what I mean? Like.
I know what you're saying, but I don't like that. But we got away from the point of what we're discussing with Jason Kidd. This is the only thing I'm going to say about the whole issue with Jason Kidd. I don't give a crap that the Nets hired him. You know, we all know why the Nets hired him. Prokhorov is as bad as Woody Johnson when it comes to the press. To me, when push comes to shove, they hired Jason Kidd to get that back page. What bothers me about this is that Jason Kidd hasn't coached a game in his life. Patrick Ewing, and I always hate to bring up the next thing to it, but it's the most reasonable argument. Patrick Ewing has been coaching for 10 years. and he's been trying like hell to get an NBA coaching job. Now, I can't tell you if he's deserving of a job or not, but he should at least put his time in. This kid just literally like hung up his shoes and decided, you know what, I'm going to coach a team. And now he's coaching the Nets. I mean, to some degree, the coaching fraternity must be up in arms about this. I mean, look at you. You're the perfect example of this. I mean, you must know. You know, no one should get a job right off the bat after they retired.
No, I think I told you. I hated this move.
To me, it breaks a lot of protocol. It breaks a lot of, you know, just a lot of doors that should have not been broken. I mean, the sad thing is, if this works, people are going to start doing this all the time. But I don't know.
Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Randy and Jose. Who's this? Hello, you're on with Randy and Jose. Who's this? Real Sports Talk Radio on with Randy and Jose. Who's this?
If you're on, just start talking.
If you're on, just start talking, brother. We can't. I can't play that game with you. 760-283-0846. Listen, here's the final take on Jason Kidd. Okay, and I worked with the man. I worked behind the scenes with the Nets for all those years. They were the champions of the Eastern Conference when I was around there. Maybe was, if not the best point guard in the NBA at that point in time. And, you know, you and I were talking about that story last week about the Spurs and what was going on, that he almost left the Nets and so on and so forth. Best player in Nets franchise history. I think he's 10 times a better point guard than Darren Williams. And the thing is, I think in his prime, there's not many better than him. I know you were a Knicks fan, so you had your colors on, so you were all, of course, going to make an argument.
No, I think Jason Kidd's a Hall of Fame player. There's no doubt about that. You know, I have no issues with that. Great is great. If you're great, you're great. I don't have to like you. I have issues with Jason Kidd for different things entirely, which we won't get into here, but Jason Kidd's a great player. I think you got to put in your time if you're going to be a coach.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing that aspect whatsoever. You and I think are right on the same page with that. I think you do have to put in your time, especially when you have so many great candidates out there who deserve a shot. Does Patrick Ewing deserve a shot to coach? I'm indifferent about that. And I'll tell you why I'm indifferent about that. You coached Dwight Howard for 6 years in Orlando, and look at his offensive game. You're the best offensive center that I can remember watching. I'm sorry, the second best offensive center watching in his prime. And Dwight Howard can't shoot a jump shot and can't shoot free throws. And he has no offensive game.
I will say this, though.
Okay?
Everything I've ever heard, though, is that Ewing actually still did improve this game. Excuse me. I can't tell you one way or the other because you're right. He can't shoot a free throw to save his life, but everything I've ever read or heard about this was that he was a great influence on Howard, and he did help Howard with his moves. I mean, so it just kind of tells you that maybe Howard didn't have much offensive moves to begin with. What little he has now is because of Patrick Ewing. But yeah, I don't know if Patrick Ewing is deserving of a job. I couldn't tell you. But he's put his time in. And yet, if anything, he deserved a Charlotte Bobcat job. If anything else.
You can coach your Charlotte Bobcats.
But I'm saying, though, like, if you want to, you know, to me, like, if Jason Kidd wanted to get a head coaching job, maybe that's the job he should have went after. Because at least, look, Charlotte's not going anywhere anytime soon. But that's more of a job for someone who's never had any really coaching experience that wants to get their teeth in that is a player of his status. So to me, you ain't being named the associate head coach there, at least it's some kind of, like, bone for him. But again, I don't know.
At the end of the day, and I keep on saying at the end of the day, but if you were to put a win number, assuming it brings back the same team that PJ Carlos had, PJ's a good coach. He's another guy, and I don't think PJ's ever getting another opportunity in this league. I think someone will pick him up as an assistant coach, just like Avery Johnson. I think Avery's a good coach. Like, Avery coached the Mavericks to the finals. Okay?
Did they win?
Did he take him to the finals?
Did they win?
Did he not win?
Okay, then. That's all anyone cares about.
I do not like you right now. Okay, listen, but there's also a difference of when, like, you know, Avery came on for that 5-year plan with Prokhorov, and all of a sudden he got the axe because the players gave up on him. I interviewed Jason Thompson from the Sacramento Kings this morning, and I said to Jason, you know, is it true? You know, do you find a lot of stock in that phrase? Players win games, coaches lose games. He says at the end of the day, the players have to pull their weight too. If the plan doesn't work consistently, then it's on the coach. When the plan works sometimes, but not all the time, then you have to start looking at the players. And I agree with that 110%. But at the same time, you guys have to understand too. You know, like we joke around here about a lot of different things. You know, the conversation came up with Jason about Jason Kidd taking the head coaching job, and I asked how important is the role of the coach on the team. And he basically said, because Jason has had 5 head coaches in 5 years in the NBA, so it's hard to build any type of real consistency when you're playing in 5 different systems. The system helps. If Jason Kidd comes out there and coaches with Lawrence Frank and they run that old, you know, Princeton-style offense where it's all back cuts, which is really hard to do with a guy like Brook Lopez, by the way. But if they're able to come out and run that Princeton-style offense, they'll have success.
Here's what I'm going to say about this. You hired a guy named Jason Kidd, and you hired him for the name. He has no coaching experience whatsoever.
Right, Lawrence Frank.
And Lawrence Frank's going to be probably his top assistant. The problem I have with this is that you've already gone through Lawrence Frank, and you got rid of him, and you're bringing him back. So this fails. If Jason Kidd is a complete disaster as a coach, you're basically saying that Lawrence Frank is going to be coaching the team again. You've already done this. That's basically the reason why I just find this whole thing ridiculous. But let's see what happens. You know what? Maybe it works out. Maybe he's the next great thing in coaching. But again, there's too many reasons that this could fail. It could blow up in their face.
Do you think there's more reasons it can fail than it can be successful?
I think there's more reasons that'll bomb than they'll be successful. There's not too many. The only thing he has going for him is basically this team was a 4th seed in the East. But that would just make it that much more painful if they suffer any, because they have 49 wins this past season. If they drop even 2 or 3 games, you're talking about maybe going from a 4 seed to a 7 seed.
I'll tell you what scares me about this. I think if this is successful, this is setting a very dangerous trend in the NBA.
Yes. Yes, it will.
And I really don't like, I think that's one of the reasons why I don't like it so much. I think you're giving too many guys the opportunity. And listen, I understand Jason Kidd is the greatest net of all time, and that says something. You're putting him in Dr. J category as far as that conversation goes. But I understand, and he's a name, and it's going to help you draw attention to your franchise. At the end of the day, if you're a true basketball guy and you want to see wins, I think you're wrong in the wrong guy. Because the problem is not going to be with Jason or Lawrence or anything else. It's the makeup of this team. This is not a good makeup. I told you this before the season started last year, that I didn't like the makeup of this team. You're asking too many guys to sacrifice too many parts of their game. Darren Williams is not a pass-first point guard. He's a scoring point guard who looks to pass second when his shot is not available. Joe Johnson is a scorer who can't play defense. Okay, Darrell Wallace is going to do whatever you ask him to do. That's why his nickname was Crash. I interviewed Darrell Wallace last week, and he and I had that conversation about his role on the team, and he said under PJ he had no idea what was going on. That's the problem. He can score, he can shoot the ball, he can get to the basket, he plays defense. A lot of guys would love to have Darrell Wallace on the team, but not for $10 million a year. Okay, the power forward position is the position they really need to focus on. You had Reggie Evans starting in the back in the front court with them. He's your backup center. You paid Chris Humphries $12 million, and he sat on the bench and he was too busy reading his own tabloid articles that his divorce wasn't paying much attention to what was going on there. So they're looking to move Chris Humphries and his $12 million. It's an expiring contract. People are going to take it. But no one's going to take it now. They're going to take it at all. No, at trade deadline time.
You know who might do that to you at some point? And you're probably not going to like this. The Knicks and Nets should talk.
I know you're wrong with this.
Yeah. But they should talk. You know what? Because no matter what the condition is, Sotomayor is still a name. And as we know in the NBA, it's all about the name. Because look at the treatment Dwayne Wade gets. And he is not the player he used to be. It's the name. People respect the name. They don't trust their eyes.
I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want to have to deal with the insurance of his name. Because he has no insurance. He's one of the few uninsured players in the NBA.
But Prokhorov has all this money. He doesn't care.
Well, here's
he just wants the name.
Here's the deal. If you're going to trade Chris Humphries, you want to get something that's going to be able to help you now. And
let me ask you a question right now. Everything's equal. Who would you rather have, Humphries or Stoudemire?
Obviously Stoudemire. But here's the problem. You're not going to get him for a full season. There's also a certain $9 million you have to deal with as well. And and I'm not talking about, you're saying cap room. I'm saying where are you going to, what else are you sending over?
You don't need to send anything over.
Are you sending like a Marshawn Brooks over there? Because that's what they're going to want.
I don't want to make this a whole Nick talk, but basically, the Knicks, you're just trying to get rid of that contract. If you're just getting Humphries, if all it is Humphries, and I've actually seen a trade on Bleacher Report where Marshawn Brooks was involved in the deal as well. But I'm sure if it just was a trade for Humphries and Stoudemire straight up, even though the Knicks may not like to do that deal, just to get rid of the money, I think they would do it. For no other reason, just to get out of that contract. And look, I respect Amare for everything he did for this franchise, but it's time. He did his time. He was a good player until he got injured, and it's just time to move on. Simple as that. But
speaking of moving on,
because we should. I think we definitely killed the rundown today.
Okay, and that's fine. real quick, some stories that you might have missed during the week this week.
Randy's going to talk about them, and I'm just going to comment because Randy loves these stories. He has one he's been talking about all day, actually.
Well, there's quite a few, but real quick, I want to give a quick score update. We pretty much went all show without doing it. Let me do it right now. Scoreboard.
You want me to read these? You want me to read them? I can read them. Catch a breath. I'll read these. No NHL Stanley Cup games today. No NBA Finals today. So you guys get to be off of that. It's all baseball right now. Bottom of the AFC beating Chicago White Sox 2-1. Top of the 7th, Detroit beating Minnesota 4-0. Bottom of the 6th, Colorado beating Philadelphia 7-5. End of the 2nd, Seattle's beating Oakland 1-0. End of the 2nd, Los Angeles Angels beating the Yankees 1-0. Top of the 2nd, Arizona's leading San Diego 1-0. Finals, Baltimore 2-0 over Boston. Cleveland 2-1 over Washington. Pittsburgh 3-0 over L.A. Final in 10, Cincinnati over Milwaukee 4-3. The Chicago Cubs beat the hapless Mets 6-3.
your hapless Mets.
I know. Miami beat St. Louis 5-4, so Miami also beats other teams besides the Mets. Kansas City defeated Tampa Bay 7-2. San Francisco shutting out Atlanta 6-0. And Toronto shutting out Texas 8-0. Other than that, the only other event really going on in the world of sports is the U.S. Open. Billy Horschel leading the pack right now.
He's tied
with Phil Mickelson.
No
question. Luke Donald is third place at even. Steve Stricker is even. Justin Rose even. Ian Poulter even. Shane Sean Pond is even. Yeah, you like the way I said that, right? And John Seaton is at +1 right now. It's been raining all week. And I heard that, of course, is monsoon right now.
Area.
So that's your sports right now. Nothing else really to talk about. There should be finals tomorrow. We don't like the WNBA, so we don't care.
What's that? What's that?
We love the WNBA. Rebecca Lobo's hot.
Rebecca Lobo's hot? Oh, God. Shoot me now.
Oh, God. I'm going to hell. Randy's face is... He doesn't even know what to say.
Okay. With that being said, we're moving forward. I'd love to, I'm expecting the call lines to fill up at that point. Okay. Stories you might have missed this week in the NFL. Kellen Winslow today signed a one-year deal with the New York Jets, so he'll never get the football because he doesn't even know who his quarterback is. Brett Favre says that Rodgers will shatter all the records.
I just want to say
I think Brett Favre is like, listen, Green Bay, listen, my career is over, and you happen to have the majority of my records. Let's just make up type of attitude. And I've never really been a Brett Favre guy. I've really never been a huge fan of him.
You're not a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers.
No, I don't like Aaron Rodgers at all. But I don't like Aaron Rodgers' attitude.
I don't like Aaron Rodgers either as a person.
Yeah, I think
I give him credit as a football player.
I think as a
person,
football player, he's absolutely amazing, and you can't discount that.
As a person,
Insert explicit language here.
Beep, 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 beep.
You know, it's that bad.
Yeah, we definitely agree on that.
For those who missed it, unless you were living under a sports rock, Tim Tebow signed with the New England Patriots. Has to make the team, but he signed with the New England Patriots. Rex Ryan has been in the news. You know, with everything that's been going on with the NBA playoffs and the Nets and everything else, it's interesting to still go to ESPN New York and see Rex Ryan on the front and him basically making the comments that he's going to have to coach his butt off. And he's going to have to coach his butt off because at this point in time, if there's ever been a lame duck in coaching sports, I think it's Rex Ryan set up to fail. But like you said, we're talking about how bad the Jets are going to be. They might pull out an 8-8 season, a 9-7 season, and might make the playoffs.
It's what happens in football.
Yeah,
it's what happens.
It's just the way it is, you know. The other little piece of news here, Victor Cruz signs his tender to become he makes $8 million, $4 million or $6 million signing bonus.
Actually, I don't even think it's that much. I think it's $2.3 million.
It's $2.3 million, but I think he's got a little bit of a signing bonus in there too. For his first year tender.
Hey, let me read something to you just so, yeah, then this is on SNY.com. This is Giants blog. A little caption they have here. Cruz's options becoming more limited as time passes. Now that wide receiver Victor Cruz has had his tender, the road ahead is clear with both sides of playing it by the book. A deal is forthcoming somewhere between what Cruz is asking and what the Giants are offering. Book it. It will get done. From Mike Florio for Football Talk. Well, obviously what Mike Florio says, I don't know if we have a high degree of trust in Mike Florio, but here's what he writes. While it's still possible that Giants receiver Victor Cruz will script training camp and incur daily fines of $30,000 despite signing his restricted free agency tender, it's highly unlikely that it'll hold up beyond August 6th. Because Cruz is not on the contract, failing to show up at least 30 days before the regular season opener on September 5th between the Ravens and Broncos means that Cruz will lose a year of credit towards free agency, which in Cruz's case means he wouldn't be a free agent in March 2014. So,
one more point there from Omi Omasuk from ESPN New York. He's still going to get on this show. He's not allowed to start the NFL season without being on our show at least once. The Giants had the option of reducing Cruz's tenure to just over $630,000 on Monday, although there was no indication the team was going to take that route, which could have potentially added tension to negotiations. Cruz, 26, is coming off two incredibly productive seasons with a total of 168 catches for 2,628 yards and 19 touchdowns. But the two sides have been unable to reach an extension, which has kept him away from any team offseason functions. Sending the tender now gives Cruz peace of mind, at least having some financial stability this season, in case he were to get injured in the offseason before training camp. He will certainly continue to work out a long-term deal. It will compensate him for the kind of numbers he's put up in the past two seasons. But if the Pro Bowl receiver wanted to hold out of camp, of striking a more lucrative long-term contract extension, the team can find him now that he is under contract. Listen, at the end of the day, they're going to work out a deal. Same thing with the team mix. Both guys want contracts. I think both guys are going to get contracts. I think the Giants are now officially on the clock, though, with a window of another Super Bowl. I think that they are now at a point where they have their backup quarterback. They have their quarterback for the future on their roster. So Eli Manning is sort of going to be, how many, has to have the eyes in the back of his head, man, besides David Carr behind him. So my question to you, Mr. Padilla, is if you're the New York Giants, how long do you give this Eli Manning and his receivers combo? How many more years do you give this?
It really just depends on how well Eli's playing. Part of me thinks a lot of it's going to have to do with when Tom Coughlin retires. Eli Manning will be the Giants quarterback there until he's no longer capable of doing it. He seems to be one of those guys that will stop playing when he knows he's not capable. You know, so many players hold on. And it's always been said, the players in the league will tell you when you're done. But to me, he's like one of those guys that would know when he's done and not, you know, embarrass himself. I feel he has at least another good 4 years left. And then after that, you know, you take it on a year-by-year basis. I do believe the Giants really have their, you know, heir apparent in Ryan Nassib. Now, I don't know if he's going to want to wait 4 years. You know, maybe it won't. Maybe they'll use him as trade bait. But I think Eli Manning will be there at least, you know, he's got four good years. So I would think that this wide receiver tandem has another good 4 years.
Okay, and one last NFL story, and it's the one I was laughing at all week.
Oh, God.
My former Bengal, former Patriot, former
reality TV star.
Former reality TV star, former Miami Dolphin for a week. Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, the one we all love and known as Chad Ochocinco, forced to go to prison for 30 days. Reasoning why, not because he headbutted his wife, not because it was part of the deal that the plea agreement that they made. It was because when the lawyer handed the plea agreement to the judge, he slapped his lawyer on his backside. It was like a little tap like you would during a football game. And the judge decided to use her veto power, tore up the plea agreement, said, "My courtroom is not a playhouse," and threw Chad Johnson in jail for 30 days.
Well,
if you want to talk about abuse of power, I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about abuse of power, that's what that was.
And here's the whole situation with that, because that's a very thinly veiled account of it. What ended up happening was that everything was agreed to. The judge, who, by the way, is legally blind, which needs to get brought up in the story, had a discussion with the lawyers and Chad Johnson that, you know, your lawyer did a really great job on your plea agreement. And he tapped him on the butt. And if only because the crowd started laughing, and she referenced it twice in her
rant.
After the fact,
her
rant. You know, it is an abuse of power. To me, it seems like someone who's trying to just get their name out there for some sort of TV show, some sort of publicity. Look, I'm not defending anything Chad Johnson did with this whole situation with his wife. Not that she's an angel either. And I mean, but that's for a different show that we don't do. Other people discuss that. But Chad Johnson got screwed on this deal. I would have more respect for this judge if, you know, at least she could have saw what happened. But the fact that she couldn't even see what happened, and I'm sure it was told to her what happened, you know, if anything, the only disruption was her being a disruption in this case. You know, if you want to put Chad Johnson in jail, put him in jail because he headbutted his wife. Not because he slapped his lawyer on the butt and really wasn't a demonstrative slap, for that matter. So, just another person just trying to get attention for attention's sake.
Do you know what time it is?
Is it sound off time?
It is sound off time. Sound off is brought to you by Upbe Custom Creations. David, craves your name. Please go to upbecustomcreations.net where you can get your shirts, hats, pens, magnets, hats that Jose can wear. For all your promotional needs, upbecustomcreations.net. Call Mike. He'll take care of you. Jose, you're up first for sound off, so you might as well nail this out.
All right, I'll nail this out. You know, I usually don't have anything of importance to say when I do these things. A lot of times it's just rambling rants. I do want to bring it up again, though, and I think it's very important. and it's important for the NHL. I think it's great in the long run that the NHL actually outdrew the NBA the other day. Part of it is because I feel that the NHL is fighting a battle that it really can't win. And taking these little battles will end up eventually leading to winning wars. So I'm proud of it. Both games have been great so far. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, even though I joke around about how I really haven't been to the series, when I do watch it, I am entertained. And it is compelling television for me. But I said this many times before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it. For my money, in all sports, there is nothing better than watching NHL playoff hockey. There's nothing better than that. I mean, it's just the intensity, the back and forth. It's just, for my money, it's the best playoff out there. And if you're not into hockey, you should get into hockey. And if you've never seen hockey before, and you're just passing a casual glance, this is about as good a series to watch. If you really want to try to get into the sport, you have two of the original six teams playing against each other, two of the better teams from this year. So again, I'm happy that the NHL won this battle, but they got many more to go. But it's a good start. We got a good final here going on. The NBA final will be over way before the NHL final is going to be over. So, listen, people, just give it a watch because it's good stuff. You know, you may not be able to say all the names, but you'll remember everything that happens. Randy?
Mine's a little bit different tonight. And it has to really do with the NBA finals. And we were talking about anniversaries last week and so on and so forth. I really, really enjoyed, out of all the things with the NBA Finals this year, I think the broadcasting has been awesome with Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy, who I think can go back to the NBA as a head coach right now and take a team to the playoffs and be very, very successful. He chooses not to. Van Gundy makes an excellent play-by-play man. And I think at the end of the day, we'll probably have one more shot at coaching before it's all said and done. But it's a shame that he never really will get the love and respect that he deserves. He never gets the respect as an announcer for calling it like it is, calling out the officials, calling out the coaches, and calling out the players to take responsibility for their own actions. Sadly, I wish that type of attitude was still behind the bench, that he would make some of these players take account, be accountable for their own actions. Just like us, just like we are in our real lives, when we're not doing this, we have to be accountable for our actions. When you make $40 million or $30 million or $20 million a year, sometimes that responsibility of taking accountability for your own actions runs away. So for Jeff Van Gundy, I think he's the man. I think he's what makes watching those games tolerable for me. From another side of it, again, I tell you the broadcasting was great. I got to get to listen to a lot of the games on ESPN Radio too, and no one's better than Hubie Brown of breaking down those games. I do miss Dr. Jack Ramsey calling the games, but Hubie Brown is right there, and I love him for it. So that's all I got for you, Jose. We're done.
We got 2 minutes.
We have 2 minutes, but 90 seconds left here. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
it's pretty crazy.
All right, I'm done. All right, let's go.
I do find it funny, though, like two ex-NBA coaches, guys that you're finding fascination with doing the games, might I add that they're also both ex-Knick coaches. So.
What is that?
They're also both ex-Knick coaches as well. So
everybody's an ex-Knicks coach. I don't want to hear that. with that being said, he is Jose Padilla. I am Randy Zellia. FactSportsPage.com. Go to Real Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. Like us. Love us. Be one with us. Follow us on Twitter. Randy BFC. And Jose 15. And nothing else to say. Except... I really hate that every week. Even more. It hits more of a nerve. Till next week, kids. See you then.
Have a great weekend, guys.